Hello there, fellow peregrinos. My name's Bradley Chermside. I'm a two-time pilgrim. I have walked the Camino Portugués, I've walked the Camino Francés, and I'm also the author of the international best-selling Camino de Santiago memoir, The Only Way is West. I'm also the host of the Camino de Santiago Pilgrims podcast. So, if you're ready for this week's episode, go grab your boots and let's go Camino! Hello there, fellow peregrinos. Welcome to El Camino de Santiago Pilgrims podcast, where we talk about planning, preparation and packing for walking the road to Santiago, as well as tips, tricks, hacks, stories and all kinds of things to make your journey along the way a lot more enjoyable and unforgettable. To that end, in this episode, we have a very special guest because we have our very first Italian pilgrim, Valentina Bele. Come stai?
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Un piacere.
Piacere.
Okay.
I'm fine.
So,
thank you to have me.
Oh, no. The pleasure is all mine. And I'm very, very happy that you have said you will have this chat about your Camino. And
yeah.
Valentina, just so the listeners know, Valentina, have made an agreement that if Valentina maybe doesn't know the word for something in English, she's going to say the Italian. If I know it, because I speak a bit of Italian, then I'll translate. And if I don't, we just laugh and that's okay. Non fa niente, no problem.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so Valentina, you've told me you've walked the Camino Francés. You told me you walked the Camino Portugués.
Yeah.
The Variante Espiritual. Yeah. So, when you go to the pilgrim office in Santiago, you know they ask you that question. What was your motive? Was it religious? Was it adventures? Was it other reasons? Why did you decide you wanted to go and do a crazy adventure?
So for my first Camino in 2016, so the French way, actually it just happened. I mean, I was just turned 30 years old and I realized I hadn't done anything rash until then. Then one day my cousin called me and told me I found ticket, and I say, from where? And he said, for the Camino de Santiago. And I say, okay, just do it. That's the story. So when I came to Santiago and I have my Compostela, there is no reason, actually. The reason was me, and was a very big challenge.
For your birthday challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good stuff. So you decided you were going to walk it for your birthday, and you had such a good time that you decided you were going to go back and do the Camino Portugués. So we asked this question many times. For those that don't know, the Camino Portugués and the Camino Francés, the French way and the Portuguese way, are the two most popular Camino routes. So how was the Camino Portugués for you in comparison to the Camino Francés?
So, first of all, it's easier. And I mean, technically.
Yes.
It's much easier than the French way.
Yes.
And
can you say how it's easier?
It's flat. It's very flat.
Yes.
But there is a lot of street and road. So you have to choose carefully your shoes. Because if you choose like boots, because I walked the French way on the end of February, so I've met snow and a lot of winter weather, and you need boots. But on the Portuguese, you need something softer because you walk a lot of on the street.
That's a very, very good point. Good observation there, because, there is the advantage of the Portuguese way is it's flatter. The downside to that is there is more road and pavement walking, so you maybe need a little more support.
But then after, I think, two stops or something like that, I walked the Variante Espiritual. And is a way that you walked on the river, and it's amazing.
So, I mean, where do you start? So, for example, you walked from Tui, And where do you start the variante espiritual on the Portuguese?
Redondela.
Redondela. So it's maybe, if I'm not mistaken, 2 days from Tui, more or less?
Yeah, exactly. There is big sign and point on you on the variante espiritual. It's impossible to mistake.
I have to say, Valentina, I don't think we need any Italian. You speak English like the Queen.
Yeah, because I just finished the crown.
Well, we have to find you a crown because you speak you speak better than the Queen. You speak better.
Oh my God!
My English is horrible. It's full of slang and colloquialisms, and yours is perfect, like a Queen's English. We don't need Italian. We don't need any Italian.
I do a lot of practice, even for this interview.
Well, we can tell. We can tell. So thank you for being so brave to do this as well.
Thank you.
Now, big question.
Yeah.
If you were going to go on the Camino again, and I'm going to change the question now. If you could only take one more thing with you, as well as your clothes, backpack, shoes, and mobile phone, one more thing only, what would you take, Valentina?
High dryer.
Okay. A hair dryer, really?
Yeah, because I walked the first Camino, as you say, to you in winter, but I walked the Portuguese in October, so same thing actually. And as you know, in Galicia always rain, like in England. So for me, that I have long hair, but most of all, because it's winter, the hair dryer can be your very closest friend because you can dry your clothes, your socks, your shoes when there is no maybe a radiator in the hostel.
Wow, what a good tip. What a very, very good tip.
I mean, you can find a very small one, you know, the travel one.
Yeah, sure. So like doesn't weigh very much, but comes in very, very handy.
Yeah, I think I left a couple of t-shirts on my way on the Portuguese to bring my hair dryer with me.
Did the hair dryer, did other people ask to use the hair dryer?
Yes, of course. Actually, it was some reason to get, you know, a friendship with someone else.
Who knew that a hair dryer could make you so many friends?
Exactly. And I brought with me on the Portuguese the espresso machine to make my coffee, the Italian one.
We have an expression in English. Maybe I don't know if American pilgrims or Australian or New Zealand or Canadian pilgrims use this expression, but in Britain we say you can take the girl out of Italy, but not the Italy out of the girl.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yes. I know the expression.
Okay, so you actually carried an espresso machine with you?
Yeah, a little one, just for 2 cups of espresso.
I love this. I love this interview already. This is good. Why are Italian people are so funny? I love it.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good, you know, way to make some friend.
No, good idea. And so your hair dryer and your espresso machine were the two big reasons that people became your friends. And of course, your lovely, bubbly personality.
Thank you.
Okay, Valentina. Grazie mille. So one of the hardest things, Valentina, is walking so far, so many days in a row.
Yeah.
That can be very, very, very tough. Now, you've walked in winter, which sounds very hard, and you've experienced snow as well. So tell us the hardest, lowest moment on the Camino for you, whether the Portuguese or the French.
And how
you got through this.
Well, I needed to write it down, these things, because it's very touching for me. I was on the French way, and that morning we left from Pontevedra. Ponferrada. And it was raining, and it's been raining all day, and we were I was with my cousin and a guy that we've met, the name was Kaina, then he reveals no Stuart. So, because, I mean, in the winter, with just a bunch of people on the Camino, we realized that anyone meets anyone else. That's incredible. So we were just three of us, and we walked from Ponferrada to Villafranca del Bierzo under the rain. And for lunch, we stopped in front of a church because it was the only place that was a little bit covered. And we changed completely our clothes, and I realized that the blister was coming under my feet. And I was horrified because I know blister are so painful. And we just started to walk again, and it never stopped to rain, never. And we were completely wet, and my blister was so painful, and the pain, I can feel it in my brain, like a sharp knife in my brain, was so, so, so bad. And for just one second, I thought to stop, to sit and call a cab, because it was so bad.
To sit and, sorry?
Call a taxi, a cab.
Ah, call a cab, okay.
Yeah, because I was so in pain. So I said to myself, okay, Valentina, stop. That's enough. You can't ask to your body more than that. But then Kaina, this guy that we met a couple of days before, starting to walking backwards. It means that he was looking at me and walk backwards. And while he was walking, he started to say to me, you can do it, Valentina. Come on, we can do it. We're almost there. Come on. Come on, Valentina. I can do it. And I was looking at Kaina, crying and despairing myself and walking in the same time. But at the end, I got to Villafranca del Bierzo walking.
So you just needed some support from your pilgrim pals.
Yeah. And that was my best and my worst day, because I realized how much I can ask to myself, actually.
And I guess it gives you an idea, like it's very similar to life, that sometimes you think you can't do something, but you just need maybe some help along the way in some way or another, whether it's from somebody else, whether it's something you might read in a book, something you might hear on a TV, something someone says somewhere, and it just gives you that little extra nudge in your brain and your belief system that you can actually get over the line. So I love that story. And I have to ask, I mean, obviously we can wear as much waterproof stuff as we can, like ponchos, or we can wear waterproof boots, waterproof clothing. But in the end, if you're walking for 8 hours in
under the rain,
eventually you're going to get wet, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so can I ask one thing?
Yeah.
If there was one thing you would have done differently, that if you were to experience something that day again, what would you do differently? For example, would you say, right, after 5 kilometers today, we stop because I'm too wet, and we just have a rest day, or would you have had a different piece of clothing?
In my second Camino on the Portuguese, I planned everything with 2 more days extra on my trip.
Okay.
Because I decided if I need to stop for one day for any reason, a blister or something else, I can have a day more. I mean, it's not a race, so you can stop it. And another thing that I've done on the Portuguese, I try to think more carefully to my days. I mean, on the French way, the first day we walked for 24 kilometers. It was like something insane because we weren't prepared, something like that. And after that day, our body gets, I don't know, 3-4 days to recover completely. So on the Portuguese, I plan my trip like 17 kilometers on first day, 19 on the second, 20 for the third, and so on.
Okay, so you just gradually increase it every day as your body adjusts.
Good I think plan. Because your body need to adjust.
Yeah.
But that's, you mean, so many kilometers that we don't do, of course, usually.
Yeah, okay. Very, very good advice there. Thank you. So that's one thing you would do differently. Now, if you had to give one piece of advice to someone that's about to walk the Camino, what advice would that be?
Carrying your feet a lot. Because they keep you stand up for all the time you need, actually.
How did you care for your feet?
So on the first Camino, I have a very good tip from my neighbor, who is in the army. And he suggests me to put between my shoes and my socks a nylon socks, the one the woman wear under the skirt.
Okay, like a tight, so like a, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's more slightly.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy, you know, in that way.
Yeah.
To have no blisters.
Right, so a nylon sock. And
yeah.
Then a normal sock.
And normal socks and then the shoes.
Okay, so tips from an Italian army member. There we go. We can't get much better than that.
Exactly.
Oh, we like it.
Your feet are still warm all the time, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So let's ask you, from the low moment to the highest moment, the best moment, a moment that stands out for you where you felt like you were on top of the world on the Camino, like a favorite memory.
I mean, there are a lot, of course.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in 15 days for the first and 15 days for my second Camino, I got a lot of memory. But first of all, arriving Finisterre, it's amazing. I mean, after so many kilometers, so many feelings, you arrive at the end of the world. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, you do it, Valentina. Yes, we can do it. It's amazing. And then I have these big memories, actually, from my first Camino. And I think we were in a hostel a couple of days walking from Santiago. It's like Pedruso, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Stuart and I cooked a risotto for anyone. Not just for our group, but for anyone in the hostel, actually. And it became a very large dinner with a lot of people and from different countries. And at the end of the dinner, we speak to each other in our language. So I was speaking Italian, someone was speaking Portuguese, someone speaking English, but in some way we understand anyone. So it was a very communion moment.
You're talking the universal language of camaraderie and friendship and brotherhood, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That was amazing, actually.
And another reason for everyone to become friends with you, your hairdryer, your espresso machine and your risotto.
Exactly.
You're making me hungry and need a coffee.
I'm having a tea, actually, like the queen, of course.
Of course, yeah, naturally. I would expect nothing less from royalty like yourself, Valentina. So, okay, lovely. So, lovely memories there. Now, what surprised you most about yourself and the Camino?
Oh, me, actually. I mean, it revealed who truly was. I mean, I think I didn't even met Valentina before that time. I mean, I came back from the Camino, I was another person. I mean, I wasn't another person, but I changed my perspective of life completely.
How?
Well, I know
an example,
that I can...
What? An example.
I know that now when I come back, I recognize that I can believe in myself, because first of the Camino, I didn't believe in myself, first of all. And then I realized that you have to let it go. I think the best things I bring from the Camino. And with let it go, I mean that when you meet someone on your life, on your street, on your walking day, you have to enjoy all the time you can spend with the person. And then maybe after 1 kilometer, so you don't have any chance to walk together. But the important is the time we spend together.
I like that.
Me too.
I mean, that's very similar. What you are saying is very similar to an observation that I made on the Camino, and that is that it's very similar to life, that we may meet people for 1 kilometer, we might be with them for 800 kilometers. But whether it's 1 kilometer, 800 kilometers, or we know someone in life for one day, or we know them for 1 month or years, I believe there is an opportunity to learn something from all the people we meet.
Yeah.
Just like on the Camino. Sometimes not. Sometimes there isn't. But I think it's just being aware of the fact that this person might be crossing your path to teach you something, or you to teach them something. So I believe there is something positive we can get from that. And I think the Camino is, there's no better place than the Camino to understand it and in some ways take that back into your life. Like maybe the Valentina before the Camino would not have thought like this, and now Valentina after Camino
definitely
does think like that. So that's lovely to hear. Thank you, Valentina. In terms of what surprised you, what some places that surprised you on the Camino you did not know about, but actually now you know and you think they're beautiful, like some towns, cities that were surprising to you. In English, we call them hidden gems, like okay. Tesoros in Italian.
In Italian.
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote about Monastero d'Armentera. And it's a beautiful place on the Variante Spirituale.
Okay, what's the name of the place, please? Formentera.
Monastero Armenteira.
Armenteira. Okay, so that's in Portugal, I imagine, right?
Yes, I think so. It's a monastery.
Right, okay.
You can stop there. You can sleep in there.
Wow.
Yes. And I really suggest to sleep in there because it's very beautiful and very intimate. And it's handled by the nun.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah, and there is the priest in the evening, like 7 o'clock, and he said, how do you say when you pray together? Messa?
The Mass.
The Mass. And then he gave you his blessing for being a pilgrims.
Lovely, lovely. So it's somewhere where you feel like a special connection.
Yeah, and I mean, if you don't, I mean, I'm not a religion person, but the moment was very intimate and very touching.
So that's the Monasterio de Armenteira.
Armenteira.
Now, I'm mistaken because I guess me thinking it's Portuguese. Because it's Gallego, which is very close to Portuguese.
Oh, yes, maybe it's Gallego.
It's Gallego, so that's actually Spain, and it's north of Pontevedra, and we spell Armenteira.
Just like Armenteira.
Yeah, it sounds very Portuguese, doesn't it? But it's actually Gallego, so it's Armenteira. Armenteira. Any doubts about that, you can click rewind on the podcast, and you'll be able to spell that out and find it on Google, where I'm looking at it right now. Lovely. Thank you for that recommendation, Valentina.
My pleasure.
Okay, so would I be correct to assume that was also your favorite albergue?
Yes.
Oh, you have a different
Portuguese
one.
But I have one favorite even on my French way. So,
okay, tell us.
Of course. And it's on a hostel in a place called Ribadiso.
Ribadiso.
Yes, it's a very nice hostel. You have to cross a Romanian bridge, the stone one.
Yep.
And you arrive in this little village. So
right.
You have the rooms and you have the showers and there are all these little houses, like was old stables.
Yeah.
And it's very nice. There is no kitchen, so you have to go to the restaurant or something like that. But the place is very nice and it's just on the river.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at some photos of it now on Google and it looks lovely. Kind of like stone-clad buildings, like old stones.
Yeah.
And there's some steps down to the river where it looks like you can put your feet in the river.
Exactly.
Good place to bathe your feet.
Exactly what we did.
Who can blame you after walking so far? So that's the Pension Albergue. And I believe it's called Los Caminantes, so the walkers. And it's Ribadiso, Ribadiso, Ribadiso. Thank you for that recommendation. Now, Valentina, you know, the Camino is full of colorful characters, characters like yourself, characters like you, Valentina. This is why we love the Camino so much, because, we wouldn't often find someone carrying like a hairdryer or espresso machine with them so far. So did you meet or witness any other larger than life, we say, kind of interesting, funny characters along the way?
Yes, of course.
Tell us.
And I'm be just so prepared, actually, okay, because I have everything ready down. And there is, I've met this person, I think, 2 days starting my French Camino, and the name was Michael, and he carried a big, big backpack. It seemed to have all his life in it. And when I met him, he was walking through Santiago, but he came from the Via Francigena, that is in Italian, in Italy. And he walked from the 2015, so the year before I met him, from German.
Wow.
He walked, when I met him, it was the second time he walked to Santiago. So
wow.
He was just on the Camino, he was just walking. Because he was retired, his son was fine, she was married, so he just dropped anything and start walking.
Hmm. Do you think you could do something like that?
No.
No.
No, definitely not. I mean, I like my life. I like to be on the Camino, but I like my family. I like to stay here. I live in a beautiful place. So, no, I don't think so.
So it's good for a break. Good for a holiday.
I mean, it's my holiday. I mean, I like to do it alone now.
Yeah.
Of course. So it's a moment. It's not a holiday.
Yeah.
You know, but no, a life that way you have, I don't know, it's kind of, it's a matter of soul. I don't know. It depends what speak to you in that way.
Yeah, if you feel the calling, the desire,
exactly.
The call to do something like that. Did you see anyone carrying anything funny along the Camino, or we say in English like weird? In Italian, would it be strano or something like that?
Strano.
Strano. So would you, something strano that you saw someone carrying apart from an espresso machine and a hairdryer?
There was a guy with the speakers into the backpack.
Wow.
So he was walking and overpassed me, and from his backpack there is a lot of music.
Wow.
Came out.
That's really
so
funny.
Nice.
That's really, really funny. And what kind of music was he playing?
It's like house music.
No.
Was very heavy music.
Really?
Yeah,
so
it was very charging, actually.
Boots, boots, boots,
exactly.
Oh, I don't think I would like that. I like my birds and my trees whistling in the wind, you know.
Yeah, but, definitely.
If he's happy, then that's funny. But I would say, excuse me, sir, would you mind putting on these some of your friends? But I'm boring because I like just walking. So he probably hate me. But anyway, that's still very funny. Carrying speakers. This is a we find out lots of funny things in this episode.
Yeah,
okay.
He was so fast actually, so it wasn't very a problem. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Now we're going to do what's called the lap of honor round for the pilgrims that don't know that are tuning in. Just like Valentina did, you are afforded the opportunity to walk a lap of honor from Santiago to Finisterre to Muxia. You go 3 days to Finisterre. You go an extra day to Muxia. You go back to Santiago if you like. But we're going to ask some quick questions, so short, sharp, quick answers. So do you have a favorite Camino film or book or blog or vlog?
Yeah, I think I saw Just the Way, the famous one, because it's very similar to what happened with me, Stuart, and my cousin. We just meet up and then sleep together.
And we're friends forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you follow a social media personality or an account?
I think yours now and a couple of Instagram pages, but they are not personal. They are just blogs, something like that.
Okay. Now, we know Italians love food. We know it's all about the food. And you can spend hours cooking it, hours eating it, hours talking about it. This is what I love about my Italian friends. mangiare, mangiare.
Yeah, we're so bad for this.
No, it's good. It's good. You know, when I met some Italian, when I met my Italian friends, and when I moved to Spain, I realized food and eating and drinking is an event. Rather than England, for many of us.
Yeah, it's just a moment.
It's just a necessity. We eat because we have to, not because we talk about it and we like it and we discuss it and argue about it sometimes. So the long way of saying this short question is, what's your favorite food and or drink on the Camino?
I love tostada with tomato. It's my favorite breakfast on the Camino.
The starter with tomato.
Yeah, tostada, you know,
the toast,
the
pan
bread
con tomate.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love tostada because I love salty breakfast.
That's really good, isn't it? Do you know what? Yeah. I really miss that. Like when you,
I love it.
They get the little piece of toast, the little piece of bread, and they put some oil on the bread.
Perfect.
Some salt as well. And then they just kind of grate the tomato over the bread.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. Wow, no one said that. So look out for that. Tostada con tomate. And drink.
Estrella. It's fine beer.
Oh, it's
yeah.
My favorite Spanish beer as well.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many beers I haven't tried on the Camino. So Estrella is fine.
Estrella Dam is called, isn't it? Estrella Dam.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very good. It's fresh. It's refreshing.
Always
when
refreshing.
You walk
when
a lot.
You get the small one, the Caña. The Caña.
Yeah, the Caña.
Okay, one thing you wished you'd packed. A pizza maker? Ice cream machine?
I use my hand to make pizza.
Ah, of course.
No, I think I got anything on Camino.
There is nothing.
I can have more. Actually, I left things on my way.
Okay, what did you leave?
T-shirt... socks, trousers that I didn't use, something like that.
Okay.
And shampoos, so many things.
So you didn't need so many toiletries.
No, definitely, no.
Did you have a quotation, like a saying, like, I don't know the word in Italian, but in Spanish, maybe you have a similar word, is it refrán?
Quotation.
Quotation, yeah.
Actually, there is one. It's a little bit longer. I don't know if I can read it.
Yes, please.
Okay, it's a quote from a poet. It's Eduardo Galeano. And it's speaking about utopia. And he said, utopia is on the horizon. I move two steps closer. It moves two steps farther away. I walk another 10 steps and the horizon runs 10 steps farther away. As much as I may walk, I never reach it. So what's the point of utopia? The point is to keep walking. And I think something very, very beautiful. It's very mine.
Yeah, which I understand from that is that the walking is the utopia.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it doesn't matter if you reach Santiago or walk to Finisterre, but the matter is what happened in the middle.
Maybe you know this. This is a very famous saying in English. Maybe you've heard it before. Well, you probably have. So I apologize if you have. But we say it's not about the destination; it's the journey. So
exactly, yeah. Exactly.
But that's exactly. That's a very poetic and beautiful way of putting
I'm
it.
I'm romantic.
As well.
So.
Yeah, yeah. We expect nothing less from an Italian poet. I'm sure. So let's finish now with three more things I want to ask. And that is, many believe the Camino has angels, that the Camino provides, that's what is often said, that the Camino has a special spirit and magic energy you wouldn't find anywhere else on the planet, some kind of utopia maybe. Do you have a story from the Camino that shows that magic and spirit is alive?
So, yeah, and before to leave for my second Camino, so the Portuguese, I started with my friend to, I don't know if to do, so to bird watching. And because I live on the lake, there are a lot of birds or something like that here, and I fell in love with the gray heron. And it's a very common here. And on my Portuguese Camino, I found him everywhere. So it was so easy to find when I was just walking and just around the corner, there was a gray heron on the field. Or maybe it was a rainy day and I was tired, but there was a gray heron on a river. And until Finisterre, I met gray heron everywhere. So that's my garden animals, actually.
So the grey heron was in many ways like the guy that kept you going.
Yeah, exactly.
He was your messenger.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny I
believe that. I mean, I like to believe that.
Why not? Why shouldn't it be true? I believe it could be true. Stuart said on his interview that he ended up following birds as well, I think.
Yeah, I know.
And he was a macho man. He's a macho man from Manchester.
No, he's Mancunian.
Mancunian, yeah.
Of course.
I'm very close to Manchester here, but I cannot do the accent. And they speak very different to me around here.
Yeah,
which is very entertaining for me because I'm from the south and I'm living in the north. And I'm actually enjoying the. It's like living in a different country in many, many ways.
I know. When he speaks with his family, I couldn't understand anything he said.
No. And this is why it feels like sometimes it's a different country for me, even though I'm living in my own country at the moment. So I say at the moment because I do have an eye on going back to Spain as soon as possible. But that's a project maybe for this time next year.
Yeah, once, we hope so.
Once COVID is banished to history. But
yeah.
Valentina, I know how challenging for me it could be to speak another language for so long in so much depth. So I'm very, very grateful that you have shared your Camino stories and experience. And just to ask, how do the Italians see the Camino de Santiago? Is it very popular or is it something that's still relatively unknown?
Well, I know a lot of people walked, but there are, I mean, grown up people. I mean, there is not so many young people. It seems like walking is something that older people does.
Okay, so it's more something for people that are a little bit older.
Yeah, exactly. But I know a lot of people, but, you know, when I say, yeah, I walk twice, Camino de Santiago, oh, my God, really? Oh, yes, I definitely have to do it. That's the answer that I always get when I say that I walk the Camino de Santiago.
And do you have any plans to go and walk another one?
Yeah, I hope so. Actually, I'd like to walk the winter one. The winter Camino is from the north. But it's like 250 kilometers to Santiago.
Winter Camino? Where does
Camino
that start?
Camino de Invierno.
I don't know where that is. I never heard of that.
From Ponferrada, there is a big, there is a cross. Mm-hmm. You can keep going on the French way, or you can going on the Camino de Invierno.
Okay. One more question as well. If you don't mind, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Tell us about the Variante Espiritual from Redondela. How do you get on a boat and you go all the way up the river to Padrón? Do you stop along the way? Do you go on your own? Is it a company you use? Tell us about that in more detail.
I left by myself for the Camino Portuguese, so I was alone, and I was already planning to do the Variante Espiritual. So when I came to Pontevedra, I've met another girl, a Canadian girl, who wanted to do the same. So we walked together the Variante Espiritual. Actually, it's just one day more
right.
from the Portuguese to Santiago. And you can take the boat that is definitely recommend you because it's amazing. You can see something otherwise you can see from the ground, from the Camino.
Yeah. So you, just so I've understood correctly, instead of walking this extra day, you take a boat on this extra day.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you take the boat in 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Padrón.
Right.
And from there, actually, you can decide to walk to Santiago because there are just 25 kilometers.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice walk from Padrón to Santiago.
Yeah, definitely. I decided to stop because the day before I was taking a lot of rain. So I was pretty tired and with a cold.
Yeah.
So I decided to rest in Padrón for one day and started to Santiago for the next day.
Yeah, because the last 10 kilometers... into Santiago and the Camino Portuguese is a long, 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 long uphill stretch.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's going on forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you eventually get into Santiago, it's a very, very big relief. So my dog's going to bark, I think, because my wife just come home and because she's interested in the Variante Espiritual. Valentina.
It's beautiful. I mean, in naturally way, it's amazing. I mean, it's worth it, actually.
Okay, now thanks for that recommendation because we haven't heard about the Variante Espiritual in so much detail there, so that's good to know. Before we finish, we like to ask about a Camino song. So what would your big Camino song? You can sing if
I
you
know
want
that
to.
Stuart told you about
Una Poca de Rosa.
I don't know, it's just a way for me to spend my time when I was tired on the Camino. I just start to sing.
La puoi cantare? Can you sing it?
Oh my God. Yeah, yes. Okay. If you want. Just a little piece, right?
Shall I count to you like a one, a two, a one, two? Or like, do you know the count or you just want to go in or?
Okay, I just sing it, okay?
Go.
La chiamavano bocca di rosa, metteva l'amore, metteva l'amore. La chiamavano bocca di rosa, metteva l'amore sopra ogni cosa. Appena scesa alla stazione del paesino di Sant'Ilario, tutti si accorsero con uno sguardo che non si trattava di un missionario. C'è chi l'amore lo fa per noia, chi se lo sceglie per professione. Bocca di rosa nell'uno nell'altro, lei lo faceva per passione.
Altra!
No, please!
Very, thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you too.
It sounded like the grey heron singing in the morning.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I mean, it's so nice to speak about Camino de Santiago to know, you know, annoying people.
Not at all. It's a big honor to speak to our first Italian pilgrim. And I'm
honored to be the first.
The very first. We hope not the last. And thank you for sharing in great detail, because you gave some very good tips about the socks, about the nylon socks, and some places to stay, like the Albergue en Ribadiso and the one in Armenteira, and some very, very unique tips, like carrying the hairdryer and the coffee machine. So
exactly.
It's been very, very, very entertaining, Valentina.
Thank you. It was
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Grazie mille per tutto.
Prego, prego, grazie mille.
Buen camino!
Buen camino!